ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER101 from the American College of Emergency Physicians. We are discussing sports injuries with Dr. Ricardo Martinez, who is a supervisor for the Super Bowls, and he worked at the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration. So he knows a thing or two about regular injuries. He's an ER doc and sports injuries. And we were continuing the talk related to Kevin Ware's injury and how freakish that was and whether it was freakish or not. But aside from, and these are elite athletes, Dr. Martinez, right, who are in the top condition and then having these injuries. But, you know, a good bit of us try and go out, our weekend warriors playing sports and things on the weekends, and we're not so conditioned. And doesn't that make us prone to injuries?
Yeah, I absolutely. You know, one of the things that's interesting about ligaments, for example, is that they actually get stronger under kind of exercise and stress, right? So if you haven't been exercising, they're a little bit more lax. The joints get a little bit more stretched than they would normally. And so things like dislocations and ankle sprains and shoulder sprains, those sort of things become much more common. So this is a group that probably has great muscle tone, great ligament tone, strong bones, those sort of things. So for the most part, when you see these injuries, it's often falls, kicks, hits, that sort of thing, but at a very high level. For us, you know, it's probably too much pressure, too much exertion or impact or loss of balance, and so then we have to deal with those consequences.
Yeah, so what kind of things do you advise people to do, or what kind of prevention things can we think about for sports injuries?
Well, you know, it turns out that there's one of the best things I think people to do is just try to maintain an exercise program, so that they are prepared and their body is ready. If you're really not in great shape, you know, make sure that you moderate your exercise. Avoid places or types of sports where you may have impact unless you're wearing the right protective equipment. And so, you know, when you talk about right protective equipment, it's funny how our society has been very slow to adopt things like that, including things as, you know, seatbelts years ago. So one of the areas that I'm seeing greater focus on this particular month is facial injuries, for example, and head injuries. But if you just look at the facial injuries, it's very easy to prevent rather than fix. You know, we've known that since the days of Humpty Dumpty, right? We can't put certain things back right together again. So helmets, making sure you wear helmets, making sure people wear just mouth guards is a very important thing. It's funny because you've only got a certain set of teeth. They're permanent, and they're in the front of your face, and they're knocked out by all kinds of things. So having something to protect them, absorb that, and hold them together rigidly works real well. And then the last one really is I like eye protection for preventing eye injuries. And what's really funny is you're beginning to see more and more, we're talking about Kevin Ware, you're seeing more and more basketball players now wearing eye protection, simply because of the number of elbows out there and fingers that are out there on the court. So, you know, you can try to avoid, but prevention protection is not a bad thing.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, you see, there's been a lot of basketball injuries. A professional basketball player had his eye poked because everyone's jumping up, looking, and grabbing for the ball. And so, as you were mentioning, April is National Facial Protection Month. Because of sports. And so let's talk a little bit about teeth. So, you know, what do you do? There's a lot of controversy out there and people aren't always sure. So say a permanent tooth does get knocked out by a kid at a sport or an adult. What are you recommending people do?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, it's a big deal, right? Because they got hit and that tooth often comes out. Sometimes they swallow it, right?
Yeah.
But the tooth comes out, and that has a lot of ramifications in terms of, you know, your appearance and, you know, how your teeth sit, everything else. So the first thing to do is find that tooth, right? Find that tooth. And what I see as an emergency physician who still sees patients is that a lot of people do the wrong thing at that point. They've got the tooth, need to bring it back in. What they need to know is that time is tissue. And so if we can get that tooth in the ER and try to replace it within 60 minutes or even closer to 20 and 40, we have a much better chance of that actually being able to keep that tooth in. Because what we'd do is we'd clean it off, and we'd put it back in, and then we'd splint it back in, usually with oral facial surgery or some one of the dental services to do that. But the important thing is to try to don't pick it up by the root. As you look at your tooth, there's the crown, there's an area that's outside exposed. There's a part that's inside that's been avulsed and pulled out. That part that's been avulsed is the part that's living, and the part
that
needs to be
So if you see a little blood, right, if the part that has blood on it is the root and the living tissue that you want to transplant.
Yeah, I was going to say it's good because, you know, blood means it was part of something living, right? That's the part that's got the blood supply. So you really don't want to clean it off a whole lot. You don't want to do a whole lot. You don't want to mess with it very much. But you do want to preserve it. And so you can do something as simple as put it in a baggie or a little, you know, plastic bag and put it in a cool container and get it on over as fast as possible. There are things you can buy, and you can have them readily available. There's one called Hank's Solution. You could buy that at drugstores. I think Save-A-Tooth, some of these other brand names. But that's actually nice. But believe it or not, you know, some people say just plain old milk is pretty good for a couple hours.
I've heard the milk. It has some nutrients and sugar and stuff and liquid. And what about recommending?
Bacteria.
Do you recommend? Are they recommending now that people put it back in the socket or put it under their tongue? I mean, I worry about them, like, you know, choking, swallowing, whatever, especially with all the blood that's sometimes coming out of their mouth.
Well, that's a good point because a lot of times they're still bleeding, right? And so they can put their tongue up in that area to try to prevent the bleeding. But interesting enough, Lee, turns out saliva is not necessarily the best thing. It turns out that your root of your tooth was not exposed to saliva. So water and saliva are not really the best thing for it. So milk may be better. And water, believe it or not, is the least favorable because it causes the cells to die real fast. So they suggest, you know, if you can, saline's better, milk's better, and Hank's solution. And I tell you what, I wonder if things like Gatorade and all that might be helpful. I would love to see that because that's actually isotonic, right? Not
there's
recommending it, but
study
I just think
that you can do. there's your next research study that you can do with the oral maxillofacial department.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the
absolutely.
Teeth that come out.
Well, I do want to say this though, that you know, a lot of these things really are preventable. What's really silly is that, you know, when you look just like at hockey, they let everybody grandfather in wearing helmets, right? And so the last guy who didn't wear a helmet finally got off the ice like 2 or 3 years ago. Getting people to change their
behavior. Surprised he could even walk off the ice after that or do anything. He could barely count.
He didn't know which way was off. That's right. Didn't know he did. So what's important is role modeling. So coaches have to know. We start role modeling people's protective gear back in their school years. So mouth guards, facial protection, wearing helmets, not just for, you know, contact sports. Bicycles are a big issue, right? Rollerblading, those sort of things. That helps. That really helps. And so the parents have a big role in this, too, making sure the kids are properly protected. We can't always fix a smile once it's broken. We can't always fix an eye injury once it's broken. We can't always fix a head injury once it's broken. So the best thing in those things, to me, is always prevention. Otherwise, you know, you'd put yourself at risk. So we think parents and coaches have a very strong role in helping make sure that everyone's protected every time they go out on the field or they do something that may create risk for them. Just minimize it.
Yeah, because prevention is, as they say, always the best medicine, truthfully, for these things. And I'll tell you, this has been very informative. And thank you, Dr. Martinez. We appreciate it. And we will have to have you back because we can do a whole entire show on head injuries and what's related to head injuries and what's going on today in football and everything else. So we'll have to do a whole show on head injuries because we couldn't even begin to do it in the next 30 seconds. But it's very interesting. The key is to be prepared, keep well stretched and toned to minimize your injuries. And if something happens, have an action plan. Thanks again, Dr. Martinez, for this informative segment. We appreciate it.